Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to be with you. Heading towards kickoff at 3 o'clock, the Rabbitohs taking on the Warriors. James Graham sits alongside Reedy and Gerds. My name is Tony Squires. It's been great in the past hour just to get to know James a bit more. And he, as I said, not quite willing to express himself. I just want another, before we get to Ricky Stewart, I don't know if you noticed, just again in trying to learn more about you, James, that a couple of squillionaires decided to blast into space in the past week. Jeff Bezos did the job.
I think his brother was on there.
He was. Richard Branson also went up there for a little float around for a while. If somebody came and tapped you on the shoulder and said, I'm taking you into space, would you happily go?
Maybe not the first flight. maybe give it a year.
Give it a
test
year.
Test it out. Yeah, I'm not too sure. It's one of them, I guess. Who would say no? Like,
definitely.
Really?
Yeah,
well, I think absolutely. What an amazing experience it would be to be in space, one of the only few people in all of human history to go up there. It'd be, I think it'd be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't they sort of say don't jump on the A380 for the first 12 months as well and just wait and see how they go? Big, heavy thing.
Yeah,
well, sort of held up there by what?
Some people are saying the same thing about vaccination.
I watched a replay of it. I wasn't that impressed. I didn't think it went that high.
No,
I didn't think it went to space.
Well, it only had to go up, like, I don't know what it was. It wasn't that far, really.
Technically, we're not in space now.
No.
Oh, hold on. That's too deep.
Yeah.
That's too deep for the show.
Technically, we're not in space. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're in space, aren't we?
Because we're on a planet that's in space.
Yeah. How do you define space?
That's
a different show.
In all my years of hosting rugby league programs, nobody has ever said, how do we define space?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. As is this man, he'd be very happy with his Raiders, who got a win over the Eels. Ricky Stewart joins us. G'day, Rick.
G'day, Tone. How are you, mate?
Very, very well, thank you. Lovely to have a chat with you. What, nil all? I love nothing more than a game as halftime is nil all. This was one of my favourite games of the season so far. It was tough. Must have felt great in the rooms after.
It did. You know, you always feel good after a game where you know it's been a tough contest and you're happy with everyone's performance. It's a good change. We've struck a couple of games.
Wait a second, Ricky. You've just jumped into the TARDIS again from Doctor Who, dropping out a little bit.
Have we got him?
Sorry.
Hey, Rick, congratulations, mate, the last couple of weeks. I mean, you guys have been through some obstacles over the last couple of years and some real hurdles put in front of you. Are you, you know, with everyone now going into this situation, do you think that's an advantage for the Raiders as opposed to some of the other teams?
I don't see it as an advantage. It's what you make of it. We travel really well. We've got a really close bunch of guys who enjoy one another's company. They enjoy getting away with each other. Their families are probably a week away from joining them, the boys whose partners and families have come up. So, look, it's a good environment. The league have done a wonderful job in how they've arranged so quickly. And they've set up a wonderful environment for us to train and play. So far, so good.
Sticky, it's Jimmy Graham here. Congrats on the win last night. I've got to say, mate, it looked like there's been a real response from after that Gold Coast Titans game with the fans leaving and stuff like that. A real sort of response in defence. It took a very special try from Parramatta to get across your line last night. Just what's behind that and what sparked this new energy in defence that you seem to have?
It was certainly one out of the box, James, that game against the Titans. I mean, I grabbed the senior boys a couple of days after that match, and we had a short turnaround going into the Thursday night game against Manly. And, you know, they were at sixes and sevens. They couldn't believe it either. And nor did I. You know, it was just one out of the box. We're a better defensive team than that. And if you have a look at most teams this year, I think 14 out of the 16 teams this year had one of those just pop up and it just jumped out and got us, and they played very well, the Titans. You can't underestimate their attack. They were big and powerful, and they attack well, and they got a lot of momentum. We couldn't get any of it back. And I know we're all hearing that a lot this year, but that's just the case. And we couldn't string any or fight any momentum back. And we got our pants pulled down real well and good.
Hey, Rick, Brent Reed here, mate. It's been a pretty special few weeks for you because not only have you won, obviously, in games, but you were made an Order of I think you won Order of Australia medal, if I've got that correct. As much for what you do off the field as what you do on it. Can you tell us what that was like, how special that was for you?
I'm glad I got it before that Titans game, mate. I don't think I would have got it. I felt very, very privileged. I felt as though, I received that award on behalf of so many people that helped me too. I enjoy doing the work for my foundation because I know it helps a lot of people who can't help themselves, and it creates a little bit of a voice for autism, but it also helps people with the facilities we build for respite and our next facility, which is going to be for independent care for young adults who are living with a disability. So I really enjoy that work. It takes me away from football, and I felt very proud.
Ricky, it's a long year, these guys in footy. You go through a lot. There's tensions. It can be incredibly punishing. Do we get to a point like now where suddenly there is a bit of light that you can kind of saddle up and go hard as you see where the target is for your team?
Yeah, we've been trying to turn it around. We've had a really bad mid-season, or not even mid-season, after about round 4 or 5, we just fell into a real slump and didn't play our brand of football. We weren't allowed to play our brand of football. And I've said it to the boys, I think there's been times there where we haven't had 17 individuals play well together. The last 3 games, there hasn't been a player that hasn't contributed. And, the boys there who have played, what it's like. Everyone's weighing in. It's a great team result. Even if it's not a win, it's not far away. But we had too much segregation between amount of players that were playing well and not playing well. We had players out of form. And look, and coaches as well. Coaches got away in there. We mightn't have been coaching well. So we're all back on board. And I said a couple of weeks ago, there's a couple of headbutts along the way. And that's what happens. It happens in relationships. It happens in coaching and with players and players with coaches. That's just life. And we're all big enough to get over it and get on with it. And the boys have done a really good job in turning it around.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like too, Rick, over the last couple of weeks. I mean, there was that period you guys went through early on in the season and everyone came out. You've got some really good leaders in that organisation. You always know when Josh Hodgson, you're going to have a chat to him, you know where you stand. I'd imagine you guys were able to have some adult conversations, put all that behind you, and it honestly just looks like it's in the rear vision mirror. You guys are moving on and you've got a goal to make that top 8. And at the moment, with the draw you've got, I mean, that's looking very likely.
Well, Gertz, there was, What you heard and read was completely different to what was happening inside. We're all mates, and I don't hide the fact that I build relationships with my players. And there's at times it's uncomfortable telling blokes they're not playing well. It's uncomfortable blokes telling you you're not coaching well. You got to cop criticism, and at times it's hard. And we all get on with it. We all bounce back, and everybody tries to do a good job. And the one thing about our club, we never hate or argue about effort. The effort's always there. So, we're early in the interview that we're all very close, and that's why we like travelling together and playing together. We're all close, but when you've had a little bit of joy over the last couple of years of stringing wins together, really good. And when you're not winning and you lose, it compounds. And I probably might have went into a little bit of overcoaching then But that's not us. You probably overcoach a little bit, and it just compounds. But, we pulled our way out of it. I hope it's early enough. I hope we can continue a little bit in good form.
How did you feel in the last few minutes of that one the other night, Rick, when, you're under your 5th fullback, I think, but what a night he had, Rapp, and what a play with Suvo on that sideline.
Yeah, there was an unbelievable moment that was owned by Geordie Rapp and in stopping that try. And I said after the game, you need luck. And we haven't had a lot of luck this year with injuries, with games. And yet there was a try there scored that put them to 12-6 on the weekend. And there's no way there was a try because young Dylan Brown was offside.
Absolutely.
It shouldn't have even got to that, mate. It shouldn't have got to me being upset or cranky after the game because they got back and beat us. It shouldn't have got to that 12-6 lead at the 15-minute mark. So yep. A little bit of luck went our way at the end, and we deserve it.
Hey, Stick, it's been great to see this combination that Josh Hodgson and then when young Tom Starling comes on, having two nines on the field at the same time. How do you see that combination evolving and getting even better moving forward? Because I've been very impressed with it, to tell you the truth.
It really fits Hodjo, James. You know, he's not playing as a half. He's not playing as a typical 13. He's not playing as a typical nine. He's doing a little bit of everything. And I think it's a little bit of way the game's evolving at the moment. It's creating an extra pass in our game. He's a talented player, Hodjo, to be able to do what he does. And then the way he defends, it's really suiting his game. And I think it's taking his game to another style and another part of his evolvement. And, to answer your question, mate, I think just game time's going to help it. He will really assist Tommy Starling there too as a young NRL player. And he's experience and talk on the field, Hodjo. It never goes unseen with me. He's got a great contribution to our performances.
Yeah, talking about Josh Hodgson and his leadership skills, what about that tackle that he made on Mikasebo last night? Wow, that was... I was frightened for Josh there when I saw him running at him. But yeah, he really stood up to him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. We just finished a review, actually, in... Sammy Williams jumped up and said he thought he had more contribution and impact in that shot.
Hey, Rick, but what, I mean, on the back of momentum, you know, with Josh being probably your most creative player, he's always kind of got, when he's out there as number nine, he's got to get in a dummy half, and sometimes you lose that element of creativity with him there. But when he sort of can just roll around and get to an edge, as you spoke about, and he's not committed to that one position, he can get things done on the outside. And that's probably something that you guys have probably got to work on going forward, making sure you can get the ball to the edges and take opportunities when they come.
Yeah, that's, you know, we've had so much disruption to our team this year. You know, we haven't been able to play the same 17 four, five, 6 weeks in a row, and it's really disrupts momentum. Having Josh play more of a role there now, I think it's nearly our third game in a row that we've got him on at the same part of the game to fit Tommy Starling into the nine role. Gives us that little bit of combination and cohesion, I believe, mate.
Hey, Rick, give us an idea how much more fun you are to be around after a win compared to a loss. What's your mood like today compared to what it might have been after a defeat?
I've worked very hard on my personality after losses, Rudy. So I know the boys don't enjoy it, and I'm being serious. I try and work hard on that now after losses. I don't like being around me, mate. So I can't imagine what can't imagine what other people feel.
Okay, and a quick one, Rick, on the World Cup. Obviously, you know, you played in big games for Australia over the years, and I'm sure you've got players here who'd love to go to the World Cup at the end of the year. If you've got guys from the smaller nations who want to go and you've got Englishmen there, what's your stance on it, Rick?
It's all their own opinion, mate. They'll make their own decision. I know, for example, my Englishman, I believe that Josh Elliott, I've got Sutto there. Look, if they got selected, mate, they would want to play, I believe. I haven't really spoken to them at length about it, but I reckon they'd want to play because got an opportunity to go home and see family. But it's also, you only actually get this feeling, I think, when you get to my age and you see it after you've done it. You know, there's another tick on the international list of another game I've played, another test match. It's another opportunity to play for my country. And you can't give that up. I'm a big fan of representative football. I get why New Zealand and Australia aren't going away, and I think it's fair on the welfare of the player after being in a hub, I think, for the rest of the season, and then having to go back into another hub. I don't know how that would be mentally for the players as much as physically, but the Englishmen, you know, if they can get over there and see their families, that's great. I think that's wonderful, and they can add on that. Then they're playing for their country. And it's also adding, profile and personality, ability to the English team.
What about if someone like Josh Papali'i elected to represent Samoa, Sticky? How would you feel about that?
I don't know if he can swap. I don't know. I mean, I haven't got the answer on this. I don't know. Is he with Australia or can he go back and play for Samoa? I'm not too sure. But that'd be, again, Josh had a really, really big off-season last year in regards to wanting to... He trained with us, and then he wanted to fight. Josh has to look after himself physically. But again, I go back to the individual's got to have an opinion on that. But Josh started the season very slowly because he burned himself out over the off-season. So he has to be very smart in those decisions. But again, I'm not too sure if he's registered as a Samoan player or Australia. Again, I haven't got the answer to that.
All right, Ricky, we thank you so much for you giving us your time. And again, look, just our congratulations on your honour. So richly deserved, having been down there in Canberra and seeing how much both your foundation and that team is important to the community. So richly deserved. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Thanks very much, boys.
Thanks, Rick.
Cheers, mate.
And Reedy, of course, is our official Olympics correspondent. Are you doing that? Are you writing anything
about
the Olympics?
Well, I was supposed to be there, but I pulled out, sadly. Mm. I was going to do athletics and beach volleyball. They're my two... sporting specialties, yeah.
Well, the beach volleyball, it was so hot, basically it was blistering, wasn't it? They had to, you know, wet the sand down.
Oh, I lost interest when I didn't go, Tate.
Don't you cover the golf?
No, I would have done the golf too.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
What's the format with the golf? How are they doing that over
again,
there?
Again, I lost interest, Kurt.
You don't know?
No, I think it's a stroke play? It's just stroke play, four rounds.
Is it?
Sure, yeah.
Just the best of, like
that's
one
what
round?
It was 5 years ago in Rio, so yeah, five.
They don't do a teams event?
No team event, no. Okay. No team event, yeah.
Right, and the boxing, you're also an expert in boxing, aren't you?
Yeah, boxing, yeah.
You lost interest in that,
three rounds, isn't it?
What do you have an interest in then, if I'm just, you know, interested myself?
No, I haven't really taken a deep dive because I haven't gone. Right, I've done a bit of athletics. I'm going to do a few athletic stories, actually.
I think you go for a good time. That's what it seems like.
Rio was the best sporting event I've ever been to. It was amazing because a lot of the media are in a media village, but I was covering the beach volleyball. It was at Copacabana Beach.
Oh,
so me and another guy from the Australian, he's left now, Simon King, we stayed in a hotel three blocks back from Copa.
That must have been terrible.
It's a tough life, isn't
amazing.
It?
Amazing.
Wow.
It was so good. Yeah. Well, this would have been an amazing Olympics because it would have been so well run. And apparently it is. It's amazingly well run. But the next two, I think, are Paris, LA, which would be a good double too.
Yeah.
And then Swan Song in Brisbane.
Retire. Yeah, exactly.
That's the plan.
Yeah, 2032 will all be happening. Okay, so what have you, obviously, the opening ceremony last night. Naomi Osaka, given that amazing honour of lighting the cauldron, which was kind of mini Mount Fuji, she climbed up. And that's a brilliant story, interesting story within itself, isn't it? She's somebody who has quite openly admitted her fragility in terms of that spotlight that is on her in her life as a tennis superstar and one of the biggest names in Japan. And then to have that moment where the entire world is watching you, it was quite phenomenal and beautiful in its way as well. Did you watch any of the opening ceremony, or what are you looking forward to in terms of the actual events, James?
Watched a little bit of the opening ceremony this morning, sort of the highlights, and obviously it was a bit bittersweet, wasn't it? Obviously, usually a packed stadium, but obviously just a handful of people there. But you know, what a magnificent thing to look at and be a part of for these athletes. You know, it's going ahead a year later. Obviously, tributes to the athletes that have been training on their own. This is an extra special Olympics, I believe, and those that go on to take gold, they'll thoroughly deserve it, because having the dreams and ambitions put back a year, it would have been heartbreaking for some, and would have taken a lot of discipline mentally to keep going and push yourself for even longer, for another year, to train for the pinnacle of their sport. And for me, it's always about the 100 meters. To be crowned the fastest man or the fastest woman on the planet is a pretty special thing to have. So and there's obviously within the men's there's a huge void with Usain Bolt not competing anymore. So I think for me that's the one thing I'm really, really looking forward to.
Good. Yeah, I watched the opening ceremony last night. My girls were really excited to sit up and watch all the countries come out. Obviously, they cheered for Australia. They got a little bit of a cheer for the Germans too when they walked out. So they kind of go for whoever's doing better at the games. And let's hope that's us this year. And yeah, it's hard to go past the track and field. I like all the field and track events. I like all of it. I love the javelin. I love some of those other really technical disciplines as well. I like the weightlifting, and it's hard to go past the pool as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully we do well this year in the aquatic part of the games.
Well, it'll be lovely. There's some predictions that we are going to go well in our team. The swimming, and especially the women, they're proven incredibly strong, and they look good given the Australian Championships seemed to indicate they were swimming very, very quickly. Obviously, the US has been the powerhouse for a long time. And back to that glory of Sydney, what was it, 58 gold medals, 16 of them gold, 25 silver, 17 shameful bronze. But that aside, the Katie Ledecky from the US, who is an absolute superstar, Ariane Titmus from Australia, is the one that 200, 400, 800, those three events are going to be incredibly special.
And that's a bit of a feud, isn't it? Well, not a feud, but they don't. I read stories this week. They're not the closest competitors. They don't get on. I think Ledecky's brushed her a couple of times, Titmus, so their relationship isn't that strong, so it adds that rivalry. And obviously, we all know Australia and America have got a great rivalry in the pool. But, I mean, as an athletics guy, I mean, the 100 for me, I'm with James. I mean, for me, that's the event of the Olympic Games. And there could be an Aussie in the final this year, a young kid named Rowan Browning who...
He's a great kid.
He's a great interview. He's a great chat. He's a really intelligent guy. I think he ran 9.96, it was with an illegal wind at his back. I spoke to Matt Shervington about him this week, and Matt says, look, you know, he could make the final and give it a real shake. So he's a great story. But there's a kid actually in the 200 metres, American kid named Arion Knighton.
Beaten Bolt's record.
He's 17 years old and could be the next superstar, I think.
So he beat Usain Bolt's under 18 and under 20s record.
He's running faster than Usain Bolt now at the same age and basically came from the clouds in the US title. So he's one to watch.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to have your company. Davita Pangai Jr. has finished his playing career at the Broncos. He's heading to the Bulldogs, but via the Penrith Panthers for the last 3 months of this season, which has raised a few issues for some people, saying there may well be fringe players who are at the Panthers who won't get a shot at those big games at season's end as he comes in for these last 3 months. What have you made of it, Gerds? Do you like the idea?
Well, I think it's an extremely mature approach from the club. You know, when you've got a talented player like that, that you can, you know, maybe add to your team moving into the finals. I think if you got a lot of confidence in the playing group and the staff you have in that organisation, and they're, you know, that they're all rowing in the one direction, they all want what's best for the team, and it's a team first mentality, which I think you can clearly see at Penrith that is. There's going to be some tough conversations, but you know, I've only been in one grand final, and I remember going into that game, Colin Ward had played the majority of the season. He was the guy that didn't make the 17, and you know, we were all heartbroken for Cole at the time. There's always tough conversations around success as well as there is when you're not in form. So there's going to be some tough conversations had, but in relation to getting a player of the quality of Tevita, putting him in a system where he's going to be held to account, the players, I don't necessarily think Penrith need him to win the premiership, but I think he could, if he comes in with the right attitude, which I believe he will, and he displays some of the form that we've seen he's capable of displaying, he can only help their cause at the back end of the season. So I really like the move. I'm excited about it as a Panthers fan.
James, you've seen, obviously, and been involved with where there are players who are going to another club next year and they happily fit in and play with the team they're leaving for the end of that season. But what about this kind of short form thing at the back end? Do you like it?
Yeah, it is a bit of a strange one considering he's going to be at the Bulldogs next year and obviously coming into Penrith. But it's very much a Penrith gain as far as I'm concerned. I think, you know, listening to reports in the media that James Fisher-Harris is going to skip Queensland and come back to New South Wales for the birth of a child. So that's going to add to their forward stocks in that. Obviously, as well, Pangai Jr. can play in the middle, can play on an edge, can mix that up a little bit between himself and Kikau on that left edge. I think it's a great signing for the Penrith Panthers to pick up a player of Tevita Pangai Jr.'s quality at this stage in the season. He could just inject that little bit more confidence and that playing ability come this back end. And obviously, you know, for me, the key to Penrith is getting Cleary back. That's what it's all about. Gerd spoke, you know, I don't think Pangai Jr. is going to make or break Penrith's chances. I think it will slightly help. But yeah, it's all about getting Cleary back on the field for Penrith.
It's the optics of it that worry me, Tone. I mean, I don't mind Penrith signing him, and I'm not having a shot at Penrith here. But the fact you can sign a player 5 weeks before the finals, I mean, a player of that quality and that impact, that's the thing that worries me. We pushed the June 30 deadline back to August 1 last year because the entire season got pushed back because of COVID. And we left it there because I believe the concept was if you picked up an injury during Origin, it would allow a club to potentially go to market and replace that player. But, you know, here we've got a side that's coming second in the comp, signing an international quality footballer, Tongan international, I think he is, Tavita, a bloke who was talked about for Origin this year, 5 weeks before the finals. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me.
It does seem odd, doesn't it, that you can make it such a big signing for such a short period of time, so late in the season. It's I think most people would be pretty happy if it went back to where it originally was.
And it's smart by Penrith, right? They've got money left in their cap. They've got a spot left in their roster. They've been able to swoop on him and get him there. But, you know, and there hasn't been, it's funny, normally you would have rival clubs blowing up about this, but no rival clubs really fired up about it. I mean, I think they've just sort of, there's an air of resignation about it. But
why were the Broncos happy to let him go immediately?
Well, I mean, he's obviously on a Canterbury next year. They gave him permission to negotiate quite some time ago now. And I just think they decided, well, there's a couple of reasons. One, it helps the salary cap because they get him off their salary cap and they can move some money around. It gives them more flexibility next year. And I just think they decided to move on. And the sooner they could move on from him, the better it was for all concerned. So it's twofold. But I think mainly it's the salary cap aspect of it. Tavita's on a good wage and he's got 3 months left on that deal. You free up a bit of cash by allowing him to leave. And that gives you the capacity to maybe spend some more money next year, which is what they're trying to do at the moment.
You don't, Cohen? Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking.
No, I was going to say, so will Brisbane use that money and front load someone this year?
So I think that's the plan. They would front load someone this year and it gives you more money next year.
Mm. All right. Well, he's there and on paper certainly is good. But you were talking before about that team and how close-knit they were. Is there any chance of that being a difficulty with him coming into that group for that small time?
Oh, potentially, you know, they might take a couple of days, but I think he'll be extremely grateful. I think he's a guy, when you look at what's been happening for the last couple of years, he'll be excited about change. He'll be excited about getting into an environment that's had a lot of success. And I think you'll also be excited about the fact that, you know, he gets limited opportunities on that side when he's playing for the Broncos. Yep. Yeah. And I think he's guilty at times of feeling like every time he needs to get the football, something needs to happen around him. Now, all that pressure is going to be gone. He's not going to be the go-to guy. He's going to be able to knuckle down, get on with a job, work hard. He doesn't need to come up with a miracle play. He's going to have a lot of success. I think he's going to be really grateful and reading some of the interviews he's given, he understands the opportunity that he has. Now, don't forget, who knows where the Bulldogs are going to land for the next couple of years. This is this guy's opportunity to get into a club that are on their way to potentially a grand final and possibly a premiership.
Yeah, what a win for Panga Junior, mate. To go from a team that was, you know, battling to avoid the wooden spoon up at Brisbane to potentially playing for a premiership, it's a huge win for him. And yeah, it's a massive contrast in where his motivation would have been for, you know, for the start of the season, the middle of the season, and now coming towards the end of the season, he's got a premiership to aim for. Who would have thought, and I'm sure Tavita Panga Jr. wouldn't have thought that when he was starting the preseason this year with the Brisbane Broncos.
All right, the latest in the COVID breaches. Appy Korosau fined $35,000, suspended for 2 matches for bringing a woman into the Blues Hotel in Brisbane during State of Origin 2 during that camp. Now, I guess the big picture story is here, how important it is for the NRL to be operating out of Queensland. Everybody's up there. If that was to fall over, the game would be in huge trouble. Now, Queensland Chief Health Officer Jeanette Young has been quoted as saying, I'm reading from the Herald today, she was very close to ending the state's NRL hub arrangement and said one more breach would lead to teams and families being sent home. That's not a great scenario.
No, it's not great. And I spoke to Andrew Abdo about it yesterday, and obviously he's concerned. What he did point out was, though, that the Appy Korosau incident did happen a month ago. It was before the players went up on this latest trip to Queensland. It was during the Origin series. I think Appy went and visited a woman at her hotel. I think that was what he got in trouble for in the end. So Andrew was quick to point that out, but he does speak to Jeanette Young. He speaks to her on a daily basis, basically. And he's confident the players will toe the line now. And obviously they're in quarantine at the moment for about another week. Then they come out and they're just regular members of the community as it stands right now. So that will obviously help the cause. The other issue is the family situation. With one of the great concerns this week was, you know, there's footage of some families passing food amongst each other across
from
the balconies
balcony,
of the hotel,
yeah.
Which is they're not allowed to do. And that was, I think, what more Jeanette Young was talking about this yesterday when she raised concerns about it all. So, look, I think, you know, Andrew's obviously hopeful the players toe the line, do the right thing. And as the NRL showed yesterday with Uppy, if you don't do the right thing, you're going to cop some pretty heavy sanctions. And the next player that does it, I suspect they won't play again this year.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of sacrifices that are going to need to be made by the players and the families. But, you know, once they're up there, I think it's worth doing. You know, considering the restrictions that are on us here in New South Wales, like to do 2 weeks in quarantine and live by these very strict laws for 2 weeks, it's going to be worth it because by the time when they get out, they're going to be free to, well, all being well, if Queensland keep the cases down, they're going to be free to roam around like, you know, like normal civilians. So in my opinion, it's definitely worth it. And if you're an NRL player, you know, I know what it's like. You ride the emotions of defeat and family pressure and all that sort of stuff, but you'd definitely rather be living freely in Queensland, having all your food made for you, you know, your beds made, your washing done.
And you miss it, don't you?
That's my favourite thing about tours. I never have to do any washing. And get it all done for me. You forget how to cook and drive a car and all that sort of stuff. So but all these advantages that are set to come, and it is a struggle being in quarantine, having done it myself, but definitely worth it once you're out.
The idea that they're actually free to move around is brilliant, because if there are those clamps on them, you worry about back end of the season in terms of that one more breach ending the season. Is it there are players whose team becomes out of contention for finals, and you know, and they might I'll just go out, I'll do one thing, and suddenly that could blow up the competition.
Yeah, absolutely, and not just teams that have no chance of playing finals, but also players that, you know, aren't going to be playing regularly as well. That is a consideration to take into account. But the smart teams and all teams really should be managing that situation and should see that happening, forecast it happening, and deal with it before it becomes an issue. But I think if they were to put tight restrictions on, whether it be level 4 protocols in place, they're almost setting themselves up to fail. What I'd like to see, I think the smart move would to be, okay, the NRL hub is still active, but you can live like a normal Queenslander, as similar as if you were a resident of Queensland.
All right. I'm not sure if she's living like a normal Queenslander, but we've got an insider north of the border, obviously a regular on this show from the past couple of years. Emma Lawrence joins us. G'day, Emma.
Hello, Tony. Yeah. I miss you guys on the Saturday show.
Oh, I know. Tell me, are you cooking at the moment and just holding things like, you know, biscuits or whatever over the balcony, just tempting people around you?
I wouldn't even dare. Honestly, everyone is so scared now after these latest rules. We woke this morning we were told late last night that you can no longer even open your door for some fresh air. You can't step out on the balcony and you cannot even open the door for some fresh air, which seems like a bit of an overreaction. Obviously, it seems like it came as a result of people passing marshmallows between floors. One instance, I understand that was the wrong thing. It seems like this is just a perception thing, because having a bit of fresh air hardly is going to be, you know, spreading COVID. We're allowed to eat meals with those on our level, so we can mingle and sit and have a meal with another 10 or 20 people, but you can't open your door to get a bit of fresh air.
That is not so. You can't open the door from your room to the balcony even?
No, cannot open the door. And we were told anyone that even opens the door and gets caught, they will be sent straight home. And there are snappers down on the bottom level apparently, so everyone's been warned, stick to the rules, don't open the door. I believe some are asking for exemptions for a couple of health reasons. You have some pregnant women, some even with newborn babies, that type of thing. So there's all of that to take into consideration. But fair to say, everyone wasn't stoked to hear that news late last night.
What are you doing with yourself, Em? Apart from obviously working really hard, I imagine. But what do you do with the rest of your time, Em?
No, I'm actually still working. So I'm doing Zoom calls for Channel 9. And, you know, yesterday I just did about 4 or 5 Zoom calls with the coaches. So I'm still filing a story every day. And to be honest, for me, so this is day 3, it's going quite quickly just because I'm able to still work and doing a couple of live crosses on my phone. But for those that may have some have four children in the one room.
Wow, that's amazing.
Others have a newborn. Some have babies a week old plus another toddler on their own. Oh. And I think, you know, for me, which seeing on the inside, honestly, these partners are not, they're not being whingers, they're not entitled, because some might say, you know, that's what quarantine is. But the issue is, this is not what they were originally told. And so for some may still have come for sure. But for some that potentially have four young kids, if this was the situation, their decision may have been different. Yeah. And potentially they would have stayed home.
Yeah, so Emma, their perception may have been what we saw with the AFL hub when they all went up there last season and had the rule of the swimming pools and they were roaming about the entire operation.
Well, the rules changed, honestly, in the last week. So since even I worked out that we'd be coming up, sort of five times the situation has changed. So originally it was just cannot leave the hotel. Then it was you can use some shared facilities, limited, so you can use the gym and then you're confined to your level. Then when we arrived, it was, oh, no, just in your rooms, that's it. Even your food gets delivered to the door. And then the following day, it's no balcony. So every day they have tightened the restrictions every single day.
Hey, Em, excuse my ignorance. I mean, how does fresh air and, not going to assist people from, being well and healthy and looking after themselves, especially when it comes to mental health? What's the reason behind not allowing you guys to have any fresh air? What's the danger
exactly.
In the fresh air? I missed the point.
The point is they're trying not to, because there was a family that passed something on the balcony across to another family, right? So the Queensland government had said, okay, you're not allowed to use your balconies. So, but instead, and if they said not use your balconies so that publicly, we can't have any photos of people doing the wrong thing, I'd get that. But taking the no fresh air, no one understands that. I mean, what's the scientific evidence to say that's going to help? Yeah. If anything, to be honest.
Yeah, it's detrimental.
To some in here, with the air conditioning recycling, you've got more chance
absolutely.
Of catching something. And there are two levels. So level 7 and 8 are those living just in the local government areas where it's quite bad. So Fairfield, Bankstown, they're on a separate level. And, I mean, the air conditioning systems, if that's all anyone's using, I mean, there's more chance of something getting passed on than having fresh air.
Wow.
So it doesn't make sense.
Emma, is this a miscommunication thing? Did the NRL say one thing and then the Queensland government said the other? Is it a genuine misunderstanding, or have the goalposts just been moved, once you landed up there, and then obviously after this first event of, what was it, a marshmallow being passed?
Andrew Abdo, the NRL have been very transparent the whole time. They're having Zoom calls twice a day, so all of the families jump on Zoom calls and he'll give an update. And essentially he's been very apologetic and he said, we understand it's not what you signed up for. We were only informed. So they only essentially, not that they will say this, but they just keep getting blindsided by the government and they will change things on the NRL. So the NRL are doing everything in their power to try and reduce restrictions or make it as comfortable as possible. So they are trying, but Andrew's saying, sorry, they've changed the rules. And I think in response to originally when we got up here the first night and they said, okay, you have to stay in your rooms, that we believe was a response to the increased numbers in the community in Sydney. But this latest balcony issue seems to be a result of the marshmallow gate.
So, Em, for all that, are you able to, at the end of the day, can you have a cheeky wine? I know how much you love a wine. Yeah, are you able to have a cheeky wine or something at the end of the day? Can you unwind? Can you relax?
You can at least do that. So you can get deliveries. There are certain windows a day you can get a delivery.
I'll stand at that window.
perhaps including myself, may have got a Jimmy Brings order of a rosé or two last night to watch the footy. So, yes. Actually,
right.
I say yes, I did have a few rosés and watch the footy last night.
Good on you,
so,
Emma.
For me, I'm working all day. It's fine for me. But, it is tough for them.
It is indeed.
The situation changing.
All right, Emma, enjoy yourself. Keep working. Maybe learn a musical instrument, something like that. Do a cryptic crossword.
only 11 days to go, and you'll be right.
Enjoy.
Hey, Reedy, why didn't you come up?
too important. Got to stay down here. A couple of kids. My wife would have killed me. I might be up there in for the finals. We'll see how we go.
I'm sure your wife would have loved to send you away.
Yeah, maybe.
Indeed. Emma Lawrence, thank you so much.
All right, see you guys.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.